This is LA's home for the Dodgers.
Somehow makes the play.
And you're listening to Off-Season Dodger Talk.
He bobbles it, falls face first, somehow picks it up, throws behind his back with his face in the dirt, throw to first base to Gonzalez and makes the play.
Call 866-987-2570 and talk to your host, David Massé.
Boy, that Petros and Money, they love to talk. Can't get rid of those guys. If it was up to them, they'd be doing a five-hour show. Welcome to Nissan Dodger Talk. David Massé with you until 8 o'clock tonight right here on your home for Dodger Baseball, AM 570 LA Sports. Phone lines are open at 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Hope you're being safe out there on the roads. Those rains, pretty bad today. No doubt about it. Made it in safe, though, and the freeways seem to be the place to be, even if you're going at a snail's pace. The roads in my neighborhood in the San Fernando Valley, very flooded. You would think they would clear the gutters and the sewers knowing there was a big storm coming. Huh. Yeah, that would be Phi Beta Kappa in my book. But anyway, hope you're being safe. Just sit back, relax, and listen to Nissan Dodger Talk. Got a great show for you tonight. This hour, coming up at 7:15, Dodger bench coach Bob Guerin will check in from Glendale, Arizona. And Sportsnet LA's Alana Rizzo will check in as well about 7:40 tonight to update us on the first week of pitchers and catchers reporting out there in Glendale, Arizona, as we have started last week. Our World Baseball Classic Minute will fill you in on what's going on with that and the reaction from around baseball about the tournament. Don't forget the semifinals and finals will be played at Dodger Stadium March 20th to the 22nd. And first pitch for all those games will be at 6 o'clock. And you can get tickets to those games at Dodgers.com/World Baseball Classic. All right, latest Dodger news of the day. Darren Ruff, the guy the Dodgers got for Howie Kendrick, who was supposed to be part of the solution against left-handed pitching, was sold to the Samsung Lions in South Korea. Yes, the Dodgers have sold Ruff for reportedly $1.1 million, and which that opens up is a 40-man roster spot for Chase Utley or Franklin Gutierrez. So that's a spot open on the 40-man roster. So Darren Ruff will be playing in Korea this year. And also, another international Dodger player bit of news for you. Jose Miguel Fernandez reported to camp today. He's a non-roster invitee. He's 28 years old from Cuba. Played for Team Cuba in the World Baseball Classic a few years ago, four years ago. And he is a middle infielder that can play shortstop and second base. He's a left-handed hitter and probably will give the Dodgers some added depth in the minor league. So he reported today, and he will be interesting to watch. Whether or not the Dodgers ever call him up remains to be seen. But he's in camp as a non-roster invitee, and I guess this is news. I felt like this was kind of already known, but it made some sort of news today that Austin Barnes will strictly be a backup and Yasmani Grandal will get the lion's share against lefties and righties. That kind of seemed to be what we perceived to be the case when they decided to trade Carlos Ruiz and just go with a young guy like Austin Barnes. What I thought was interesting, though, is that Dave Roberts told reporters today that Barnes will strictly be a catcher. The last few years since he came over in that three-way trade or that trade with the Marlins for D. Gordon, he had been playing a little second base. So it's good to know. I mean, catching is a tough position in itself, but also second base is a very demanding job as well. And for the Dodgers to kind of spread him thin there for a couple of years was a little bit questionable, I guess, but it's good news that he is going to focus on catching, because being a backup catcher is not just showing up and relaxing. You got to be involved. And Rick Honeycutt demands that as the pitching coach, to be involved even on the days you're not catching, to assist the starting catcher that day for game preparation. So I thought that was good news out of Dodger camp today. But something we've talked about, I guess the biggest piece of news, is something that we had talked about all week on Dodger Talk is Adrian Gonzalez's health. And it's interesting that today he told reporters that he will be shut down for the next 2 weeks because of having a tennis elbow. And he will not swing a bat, and also said when he catches, squeezes the mitt in his right hand, he feels pain in that right elbow. So he has tennis elbow and won't swing the bat. Now, I had mentioned that I was concerned about his neck, which I still am. That just doesn't go away, and it won't go away until he retires, because if he did have surgery on his neck, it very well would end his career. And obviously, he's not ready to do that. He just has to manage it the way he has the last couple of years. And he is saying now that him playing in the World Baseball Classic for Team Mexico is very much in doubt, being shut down for the next 2 weeks with this tennis elbow. So we'll see what plays out. And something that you heard first here on Dodger Talk 2 is Chase Utley going to get reps at first base. And that's something that I thought was going to be the case, considering that Adrian Gonzalez has had that neck problem, and the Dodgers are going to need some insurance from the left side for somebody to play first base. They obviously have the solution from the right side in Scott Van Slyke, but if for some reason Adrian Gonzalez goes on the DL, which would be the first time in his career that he would go on the DL, you would need a platoon of Utley and Van Slyke to happen and really take up the production at first base if that were to happen. Now, Adrian, for 11 straight years, has played at least 156 games. He does turn 35 in May, and for those of you that are at least 35 or older, you know things don't heal as quickly as they used to. So I maintained this all week, and it's really come to fruition today, that the Dodgers did not just sign Chase Utley for sentimental reasons of just good clubhouse chemistry. There was something more to them signing him, and this may be the reason. So we'll see where this goes with that tennis elbow and how Adrian Gonzalez is able to manage his neck issue in 2017. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. When we continue on Nissan Dodger Talk, we'll take your phone calls, and also we'll hear from Dodger bench coach Bob Guerin next on AM570 LA Sports. Welcome back to Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock tonight right here on Dodgers Radio, AM570 LA Sports. The phone number is 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. We'll get back to the phone calls in just a moment, but kind enough to join us from Glendale, Arizona, is the Dodgers bench coach, Bob Guerin. And Bob, thank you so much for calling in. I know there are long days out there in spring training.
No, thanks for having me, David. And fortunately, a long day in a baseball field is not a bad thing. Baseball is a great sport, and we're all thrilled to get started again. And it's just a great time here in Arizona. Hopefully, everybody comes out and sees us.
I know during the season at Dodger Stadium, you ride your bike from your house to Dodger Stadium. Are you riding your bike from wherever you're staying to Camelback Ranch?
Well, I'm fortunate because I actually live here in the off season. I live in Pasadena during the season, but unfortunately, I'm 46 miles from the ballpark. So
you could do that, Bob.
I did a little Google map thing, and it said something about 2 hours and something minutes, and I said that might be a little much at 4 a.m. but it's a good thought.
I had to ask you because that was one of the coolest stories I heard last year. Dodger bench coach Bob Guerin is our guest, and you are a high-energy guy. I've been with you every day last year. I noticed that. Dave Roberts, a high-energy guy, as is the rest of the coaching staff. But knowing you have this collection of talent going into the 2017 season, does it reinvigorate you for the season?
I feel like that I was kind of joking with Farhan the other day when I saw him. I said, you had a good winter. I think that that they did a tremendous job with adding talent like Logan Forsyth, and to bring back all of our really key free agents with Rich Hill and Chase Utley coming back. Just did a tremendous job. Kenley Jansen, obviously. JT at third base. So, you know, we were just a couple games short of going to the World Series, and we basically have the same team back. We've added some depth and added some more talent. So, yes, we feel really good, and it's going to be a real fun year around Dodger Stadium.
You mentioned Logan Forsythe, and I've heard so many baseball people rave about him and what he brings to the baseball field each and every day. What does he add to this Dodger ball club, and how good of a fit is he for what you guys have already?
Well, what he adds in the type of fit is actually could be answered by the same thing. Is he's been exceptional against left-handed pitching, and if we had one major weakness last year, that was probably the main weakness. We didn't do well against left-handed pitching, and we needed either to, you know, have some of our left-handed hitters do a better job, which I think they will, or add some right-handed bats that are experienced and have had success against left-handed pitching, which he is. So I think we're going to accomplish getting that task done both ways, and he's going to be a big part of it.
From what I understand, too, he has the same type of intensity that Chase Utley plays with. Have you heard that from Dave?
Well, first of all, to compare anybody with Chase Utley, that's tough to do because I've been around the game a long time. I've never seen anybody like that. So if Logan's mentioned the same sentence as far as intensity and a gamer with Chase Utley, then I just can't wait to see him play every day because Chase does something every day that somebody that's been around the game as long as I have, just he surprises me every day. So anybody that, David, that you could even mention in the same sense with Chase is going to be a huge addition to the Dodgers.
How pumped are you that Chase is going to be back with you, Bob, after what you just said, since you've been in the game a long time, for you to say those words about Chase Utley and others echo the same sentiments? What does he bring to you guys?
Well, he brings so much to the table for the coaches, for the manager, for the players. He just helps everybody that he comes in contact with. I saw him today. I actually went to hug him, and I just did it. I thought he might punch me.
Yeah.
He's not really the hugging type, but I just had to do it anyway because I was so thrilled to see him. He's going to be just exceptional leader. He does everything from paying attention at meetings, not saying anything, being quiet, where everybody says, you know, I better not say anything. Chase is being quiet, to just standing up and saying, hey, we got to do this better. I don't like what I saw this last series. And people look at him like, whoa, okay. So he's really an extension of just the leadership from every aspect, from coaches to managers. When he says something, I mean, it's like the old EF Hutton commercial. You know, when he speaks, people listen. So there's not a lot of these people in the game that reach that height of just awareness and being a team guy like he is. But he's exceptional, and I've been around a long time.
Bob, you're one of the most prepared coaches that I've seen. What did you learn from Chase Utley? Was there things that you learned that you didn't see that he saw and helped you guys?
Yeah, he sees things that, you know, you see on the bases. You'll see things that the other team's doing, or you'll see occasional where they might be trying to attempt to take a sign from us, take advantage of something, some kind of a tipping of our pitcher, maybe moving a glove a certain way and giving away his change up. He'll come in after the game, watch the video, and say, ah, you know, they were on his change last night because he was doing this with his glove or he's doing that with his finger. And, you know, he might mention to the catcher, he might mention to Rick Honeycutt. He's one of those kind of guys that will pick things up like a very experienced coach or manager or scout would do, and yet he's just still, you know, on the field as a player. So he brings all kinds of different talents to the room.
Dodgers bench coach Bob Guerin is our guest. Bob, one guy that he had a huge impact on was your rookie of the year in Corey Seager. How excited are you to see Corey just grow and get better? It's hard to top what he did last year, but I know he doesn't really care about last year.
He had a great attitude to begin with, David. Corey is a baseball guy. Obviously, we know how, you know, 30 home run season from his brother and the kind of family he's in as a baseball family. So he had so much of that going in. But to stand next to Chase Utley for over 100 games was something that I knew he was going to grow even more. So he came in with an exceptionally smart kid, talented kid, and got a chance to play right next to him and see the toughness and the daily preparation, the grind that Chase does and says, you know, if this guy could do it, he's almost 20 years older than me, I can do it. So he, I think gutting it out to playing every day, wanting to play every inning. I think a lot of that was just an influence from Chase also.
Bob, as far as Corey goes in his second year, what do you think gets better with him, and how much pressure has he taken off some of the veterans? Because it's hard to find a guy that was as productive as Corey was last year. You just don't find those guys. How much pressure has he taken off the veterans as far as shouldering some of that burden?
Yeah, he does do a fine job with that, because, and that's another great thing about our team, is we, you know, don't necessarily have the murderer's row type mentality of the 27 Yankees, but yet every single player that I can hit, you know, you look at it and you say, all right, who we got coming up next year? We got 5, 6, 7. Oh, there's no weakness there. Well, we have the top of the order. Oh, they're in trouble this inning. So it's really a fantastic feeling as a coach or manager to sit on the bench. And as you said, you try to prepare yourself as a coach. You look ahead to the next inning. You know, if somebody gets on, what Doc might have to pinch run. Are we going to bunt here? And you always try to stay ahead. So I'm always looking ahead at the game. And every inning you look ahead and you think, oh, we're going to score next inning. Oh, we're going to score next inning. That's a good feeling, because quite honestly, I've been on teams where you look at the next inning and you say, ooh, we better hold them right here because it doesn't look too good next inning, because, you know, we have some of our weaker hitters coming up or whatever, but we don't have that on our team. So it's a good feeling that every inning could be a big one.
Yeah, I've actually mentioned this. You know, you talk about Jock Peterson last year. There's a lot of teams out there that would love to have a guy like Jock Peterson hitting at the bottom of their order that can hit 25 home runs, have an OPS of over 800, and play that defense. Not too many teams have the luxury of what you just described.
Yeah, then you add, you know, Grandal to that, you know, where you have a catcher that can hit, you know, in the upper 20s in home runs and take a walk and get a big hit. So, I mean, if Jock's leading off or Jock's batting eighth, I mean, he's always in a good spot where, okay, if they don't want to pitch to him, he'll take the walk. If they make a mistake, he hits one in the seats. And like you said, that's not even in the 2, 3, 4, 5 slot. That's either in the one spot or maybe your seventh or eighth hole. So that shows the depth of our lineup.
Dodgers bench coach Bob Guerin is our guest. Today, Bob, the news came that Adrian Gonzalez has that tennis elbow and is going to be shut down for a couple of weeks. I know Doc had mentioned this last year, and I know Don Mattingly had tried to do this as well, but it's very tough to take Adrian Gonzalez out of the starting lineup. Do you guys plan on trying to give Adrian more rest so he can be able to endure 162 as he turns age 35 in May?
Well, it's obviously Doc's call, but I know that we've talked about it from time to time last year. And sometimes if you could convince the player that might make them better, make the team better. You know, some guys like Adrian are in a good way stubborn. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean in a good way, where they know they're a great player, they know they help the team win, and they want to be out there each and every day for their team. So, but occasionally, if it's resting the body, a day off here or there, it might even keep somebody else sharp and let them contribute. That down the road, if you look at a, you know, a combination of maybe 150 games, somebody else playing 12 games, or 145, somebody else playing 17, the total production you get out of that position, you know, could be equal, if not even better. So yeah, there's always, every year a veteran comes back, you always kind of run that by that maybe we should give this guy a little more rest this year. He's not getting any younger. And the problems usually work themselves out. But the good news is he's been productive his whole career. He loves to play. He wants to play. And as a manager, when you have to convince somebody that, listen, I'm going to give you a day off, it's best for you, it's best for the team, that's a good thing. That's better than the other way around, where you think, you know, you want to try to push him to playing more. So slowing a guy down is always easier and better than trying to speed somebody up.
Bob, before I let you go, I got to ask you your feeling coming back for your second year as the Dodger bench coach. Do you feel different this year than you did last year? Does Dave feel a little bit more in command than he did at this time a year ago, having that year under his belt and you being the bench coach for the manager of the year?
Well, first of all, I just want to say I started playing ball in 1979, and then I started my coaching career in 1994. And I don't think I've ever had as much fun as I did last year. I thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it, the wins, even the losses. Just, we have a tremendous manager. He's one of the best people, one of the finest men I've ever met in my life. I mean that in every which way, on the field, off the field. He's tremendous. And all the coaches on the staff are just outstanding people, good, solid guys, hardworking. and the team is just a phenomenal group of guys. And it was so fun. And yes, I cannot wait to get going again. Doc, he just did a tremendous job. I cannot even imagine somebody doing any better job than he did his first year. It's almost impossible. He was that good. And I just give him all the credit in the world. And he'll be a Hall of Fame manager. I'll say that on the show right now. I'll tell you that. He will be. He's that good. Well, so I'm thrilled to be part of it.
Yeah, you're part of the support staff, Bob, and I know he felt that it wasn't just his award. It was all your awards that helped him and supported him. So congratulations on a great first year, and Dodger fans are really excited about what's to come in 2017. So thank you for joining us and giving us a glimpse of what's gone on there the first week. I'll see you on Monday, so lock the doors, okay?
Okay, David, look forward to seeing you. Thanks for your time on the show here. Enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Bob. That was awesome. Yeah, there he is, Bob Guerin, Dodger bench coach. Appreciate it so much that he was able to check in. Those are long days for the coaches. As you heard at the beginning of the interview, he gets there, he leaves his house at about 4 a.m., and they don't leave until about 2 o'clock, and that's on non-game days. So when the games begin, those coaches get there at the before the sun is even up in the desert, in the valley of the sun. And when the games begin, they don't leave until 5 o'clock. So very long day. So appreciate the Dodger bench coach, Bob Guerin, taking some time out for us. If you have any thoughts on what he had to say, especially about what they plan to do with Adrian Gonzalez this season, considering that he has been shut down for 2 weeks with that tennis elbow, 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. When we come back, we'll get to our World Baseball Classic Minute. We'll check in with Alana Rizzo, who's live in Glendale, Arizona, and you, your phone calls at 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. David Vasse, Dodger Talk until 8 o'clock on AM 570 LA Sports. This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock tonight. Heading out to Glendale, Arizona with my family on Sunday morning. I'll be there when the full squad officially reports on Monday morning. And from there on out, Nissan Dodger Talk will be live from Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona until March 22nd, that's when the Dodgers have their only off day on the Cactus League schedule. So I'll be there for a full month, and we'll give you all the latest news, interviews, and everything else you could possibly want from Dodgers Radio, AM 570 LA Sports. Maybe we don't have fancy, this is real Dodger talk. We are the evil four-letter. Listen to us. We know you're dumb and don't realize that the Dodger games are on AM 570 LA Sports, so we use these promos to try to trick you.
Yeah, no, I think I give you a little bit more credit to know this is the place where you want the latest Dodger news and actually some insight on the most winning franchise in the city of Los Angeles the last 4 years. If you look at it, the Dodgers have been the most successful team outside of the L.A. Kings winning the Stanley Cup twice in the last 5 or 6 years. The Lakers, unfortunately, I'm a huge Laker fan. They've got a long way to go and have not given the fans anything in the last 4 or 5 years. The Dodgers have been the rock as far as consistently winning, and it's only going to continue. There's, in my opinion, nobody out there in the NL West that can knock them out. The Giants, I mean, if you're a Giant fan, you've got to be really disappointed by what your ball club didn't do this offseason. Yeah, they got Mark Melanson. That was great for them to get a closer. But everybody was expecting them to upgrade in left field, and they got a couple of journeymen battling it out in left field. And then you have Hunter Pence, who is injury-prone in right field. Then you got another injury-prone center fielder in Denard Span. And what else do you have besides the four really good starters, which is something that they hang their hat on in having Johnny Cueto, Madison Bumgarner, Jeff Samardzija, and don't forget Dodger killer Matt Moore, who's back for another year with the San Francisco Giants. So they're going to have to keep the scores low for them to have a chance to win. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. In case you missed the biggest news of the day, Adrian Gonzalez told reporters today at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona, that he is going to shut it down for 2 weeks, not swing a bat, not do much baseball activities because he has tennis elbow in his right elbow, maybe because of swinging too much to prepare for spring training, maybe a little bit too much sparring that he's done over the last 4 years. And I've said, if you've listened to the show this week, that I did not think they signed Chase Utley on pure emotion and because players wanted him back. They signed him back because they wanted some insurance at first base if this tennis elbow persists or if Gonzalez's neck persists to be unmanageable. To this point, it's been manageable, but I don't think many people realize last year, despite driving in 90 runs and playing really good defense at first base, he only hit 18 home runs, plus had the lowest slugging percentage in his career since 2005. Barely slugged around 450-ish, if that. I don't have the number right in front of me, but it was the lowest of his career since 2005. And the main reason was that neck zapped him of his power. And he is still a professional hitter, dangerous hitter. You saw that in the NLCS in Game 1 against Aroldis Chapman, who was firing 100-plus at him. And he got the biggest hit of that game to try to tie that ball game. So he's still able to do that, but the power, is the power going to be there? And more importantly, will he be able to stay off the DL? He's never been on the DL in his career, and will he be able to manage that neck issue for the entire season? And I think that's part of the reason why the Dodgers decided to re-sign Chase Utley, to get some time at first base and to platoon Adrian, not platoon him, but give him days off against tough lefties and have Scott Van Slyke take that spot. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Also, too, speaking of, about getting days off against tough lefties, Darren Ruff, who was acquired by the Dodgers for Howie Kendrick from the Phillies, was sold to the Samsung Lions in Korea. He will earn about $1.1 million there, and that opens up a 40-man roster spot for either Chase Utley or Franklin Gutierrez, which have not been made official yet because the Dodgers are still sorting out their 40-man roster to get both those guys on there. Also, too, Jose Miguel Fernandez, a Cuban infielder, 28 years old, reported to camp today. He's a non-roster invitee, plays up the middle, could be a utility infielder, but more importantly, gives the Dodgers some depth in the minor leagues, either at AAA or AA. It's time now for our World Baseball Classic Minute.
This is the WBC Minute.
Don't forget, the World Baseball Classic semifinals and finals will be played at Dodger Stadium this year, March 20th to the 22nd. You could get your tickets at Dodgers.com/WBC. Ned Coletti, the Dodgers' former GM for 9 seasons, joined Petros and Money earlier today. Ned is doing work this season for the second straight year for Sportsnet LA, and he was on earlier today with PMS talking about his point of view as far as being a GM and really letting players go to play in the World Baseball Classic.
No, you know what? You got to look at it two different ways. One, you realize that it markets the game all over the world. And people told me when they're in Dodger Stadium, I think Korea played Japan for the championship a few years back, that it was one of the loudest nights they ever heard at the stadium. So there is great appeal to it from a front office standpoint, or actually just from my standpoint. You hope that your best players either don't want to go or they can't go. Because we got injury. We had Hanley Ramirez get halfway through the championship game and then break a thumb and was out till June. I think that was in 13, perhaps. So there's always the injury factor, but then you always, you talk yourself into it because you say, well, they can get injured just as easily in a spring training game. It's a little bit of a mixed bag.
And that was Ned Coletti on earlier today with Petros and Money, talking about his point of view when he was the GM for the Dodgers, allowing players to go play for their countries in the World Baseball Classic. And in case you didn't know, the Dodgers do have several players going to play and represent their countries. Kike Hernandez is going to play for Puerto Rico. I felt like that was a little interesting because I feel like he has something to prove not only to himself but to the coaching staff after last year's disappointing season, coming off that shoulder surgery, things kind of breaking down for him at the end of the year, ending up on the DL. So that was a little bit of a surprise. Rob Segedin is going to play for Team Italy. The Dodgers have several players ready to play for Team Mexico, including Sergio Romo. Adrian Gonzalez was scheduled to play, but that's kind of in doubt now with him shutting it down for 2 weeks. Vidal Nuno, the lefty reliever the Dodgers got from the Mariners for Carlos Ruiz, also in the mix. Alex Verdugo, the young outfield prospect for the Dodgers, who is actually in big league camp, is going to play for Team Mexico. I thought that was a little curious as well. You're a young guy trying to get you're trying to impress your manager and your front office, and you're going to play for Team Mexico in the WBC, and you don't have a guaranteed contract. So that was a little risky on Alex's part, but hey, national pride, I love it. And also, too, one more. Oh, Julio Urias is kind of in the holding pattern. I think if Team Mexico gets to the finals, they may call upon him to pitch in the finals at Dodger Stadium. That would be pretty special if that happened. Also, Kenley Jansen for the Netherlands is in the same situation, which I know Team Netherlands feels like they have a good chance to advance in the WBC, but hate to be the bearer of bad news and Mr. Reality. I don't think the Dodgers have to worry about Kenley leaving for Team Netherlands this season. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. It's time now to head out to Glendale, Arizona, again to Camelback Ranch. That's where Alana Rizzo is standing by live, working for Sportsnet LA, and also her second season as part of the Dodgers pregame and postgame coverage on Dodgers Radio, AM 570 LA Sports. Alana, how's it going, and how have things gone the first week out there at Camelback Ranch?
You know, David, I think it's been a really good week. And unlike many years in the past where the Dodgers pitchers and catchers come in and basically on the first day just get their physicals and get settled and say hi to the guys that they haven't seen in about 3.5-4 months, they actually had workouts as far as some bullpens being thrown on the first day when pitchers and the catchers were supposed to report on the 15th. There were 9 different guys that were scheduled to throw a pen, Clayton Kershaw being one of those guys who threw his first official pen of the spring the first day that pitchers and catchers reported. So they've gotten, you know, off already on the field. They're working out already, of course, in every area of this complex, which is a vast complex, as you know. So the energy is great. And even though the position players are not supposed to arrive until Monday, first full squad workout is on Tuesday, there's a lot of position players already that have trickled in. Today, Yasiel Puig arrived. Kike Hernandez arrived. Adrian Gonzalez arrived. And they're joining another list of guys as far as position players are concerned that are already here early.
You know, we aired your interview with Clayton Kershaw last night on the show, and he said one of his goals was to make every start this season. Do you feel like that is something that's in the back of his mind? Because if he said that's one of his goals, maybe he feels like that back, it may still be lingering.
Well, I think if Clayton Kershaw sets his mind to it, it's because he knows that, he can achieve that. And, of course, he's so competitive and so oriented as far as goals are concerned that he's probably thinking in the back of his mind that that's what he can do. Now, of course, with Clayton Kershaw in the past, you have to kind of save him from himself. And Dave Roberts said that not about Clayton Kershaw specifically, but about all of his pitchers in general. When the question was asked about whether they're going to have to really monitor Rich Hill's usage as far as, you know, innings pitched and pitch count and that type of thing, Dave Roberts said, you know what, we need to take care of all of our pitchers, Clayton Kershaw notwithstanding. So I think Kersh is in good health. I think his back feels fine, but I think the medical staff and Dave Roberts and the entire coaching staff will make sure that Clayton Kershaw doesn't get in his own way. But I do think that he does intend to, you know, make every single start this year. He does intend naturally to stay healthy. And right now he's in line to start the first Cactus League game. And, of course, Dave Roberts joked that he's going to you know, keep his opening day starter for the regular season a secret, but we all know that that's going to be Clayton.
Alana Rizzo is joining us live from Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona. You can see her nightly on Sportsnet LA and hear her right here on AM 570 LA Sports Dodgers Radio beginning a week from tomorrow, the Dodgers' first Cactus League game against the Chicago White Sox. And Alana, today the biggest news out of camp was that Adrian Gonzalez has a tennis elbow. What did he tell you, and how did this all come about?
Well, Ken Gernick actually was the first to report that Adrian Gonzalez was dealing with the tennis elbow in his right elbow from working out and basically overworking out and boxing as much as he has been. Of course, Adrian Gonzalez for many years in the past has done a lot of boxing as his off-season training. And I guess he kind of just overworked it based on that type of workout as well as some other things that he's been doing to get healthy and get in shape for the 2017 season. Now, he's not really able to swing a bat for the next couple of weeks, so obviously his availability for the World Baseball Classic is in doubt. Of course, Adrian Gonzalez was supposed to participate in that along with new Dodger Sergio Romo as far as the Mexican team is concerned for the World Baseball Classic, but they're just going to have to see whether that timeline is going to work out for Adrian Gonzalez. And of course, if it's going to hinder him playing for the Dodgers in the regular season, they're going to be a little bit more hesitant to let him play in the WBC, I would imagine. He doesn't think it's anything that serious, but you know, anytime there's a situation where you're dealing with anything in your arm or your elbow, and of course we all know Adrian has dealt with neck issues in the past. David, you talked about the other night on Sportsnet LA. So it's something to, you know, continue to keep your eye on. Hopefully it doesn't turn into anything too serious.
You mentioned Sergio Romo. I've been following you on Twitter, at Alana Rizzo, and it seems like he's very excited to be in Dodger blue.
He's incredibly energetic, and he is very excited. Today he walked into the Dodgers clubhouse this morning before their morning meeting that was at 9 o'clock, and he came in with a scooter, and he laughed, and he said that it was a little bit too far to walk from the clubhouse all the way to Field 7. And, David, you know this place intimately. You know how far it is, actually, to get from the Dodgers clubhouse all the way to the backfield, which is behind the minor league complex. So it is a bit of a haul, and the guys have been working out a lot over there in the first couple of days of camp as far as PFPs are concerned and their bullpen. They're throwing their bullpens over there really behind, you know, Field 7 instead of over here closer to the complex. So he's really funny. He's very energetic. He's taking a lot of time out to sign autographs for the fans. There's not a camera he doesn't like. There's not a ball that he won't sign. Of course, he's a new kid on the block. He understands that, you know, people are leery because he was a San Francisco Giant his entire career, being drafted by them in 2005. Listen, he's been the enemy until he walked into that clubhouse a couple of days ago, but he has the right attitude. He's so happy. He told me today that, you know, you never know when someone's going to tell you you can't play anymore. Until he physically has to take that jersey off and he's no longer going to be a major leaguer, he's going to enjoy every second of it. But he's, you know, his attitude right now and his energy right now is absolutely infectious. I think Dodger fans are really going to like to get to know him a lot.
Usually when a player comes over to a new team, they kind of just take it all in and they don't dive head first. Has he brought some of the wackiness of that Giants clubhouse already to the Dodger side of things?
You know, I'm not sure if he's bringing anything that they did over there over here, but I can tell you that he's definitely not shy. I mean, when he walked into the clubhouse for the first day, he walks in, he looks around the clubhouse, and he kind of yells across. He's like, "Hey, guys," you know, that type of situation. And yesterday was his day to throw his first official bullpen of spring, and he was in a group with, I want to say, Kenley Jansen and you know, Rich Hill and a couple of those other guys. Kenta Maeda was also in that group as well, as Hyunjin Ryu throwing their bullpens. And those four guys were already done. And Sergio was kind of lagging behind and talking to a bunch of people. And, you know, the other four were just like patiently waiting, you know, kind of saying, "Hey, let's go," getting ready to go over to the other field for PFP practice. And Sergio Romo kind of notices and was like running up to them. And he kind of like runs past them and is laughing. He's like, "You guys have to teach me how to be a Dodger." So you know, he has a great attitude, and he's, you know, he's having a lot of fun while he is here. And, you know, as long as it translates to production, I think that he's going to be a hit here.
Yeah, I agree with you. All that stuff is great, but if you're not pitching well, it doesn't go over
exactly as
well with the other guys. Before I let you go, Alana, I got to ask you the most important question of the first week of spring training.
Okay.
Your teammate on Sportsnet LA, Oral Hershiser, is in uniform for the first 3 weeks of camp. We've seen video and photos of him working with pitchers. He has those aviator Top Gun sunglasses on as well. Is he big-timing you, Alana, or is he still the same Oral?
It's so funny because I didn't even know how to react towards him when I saw him the first day in uniform. I was like, is that Oral? I mean, I knew he was going to be in uniform, but to see him actually in uniform and out there at the bullpen area instructing guys, I was like, am I even allowed to talk to you? I mean, we went from broadcast partners to now you're a coach and you have all these secrets that you can't share. But no, he's really enjoying the experience, and he's very honored to be able to put a uniform back on. He always says, you know what, I must have not said anything the first 3 years broadcasting to where I made him mad. So he's enjoying the situation. He is in uniform for the first 3 weeks of camp, but he's going to, of course, be doing games here on Sportsnet LA. So it's weird to see Bulldog back in the number 55 uniform, but I know he's enjoying the time doing it.
Well, I'm glad he's not big leaguing you, Alana.
Not yet, anyway. We'll see.
When I see guys wear those aviator sunglasses, I'm very skeptical.
I can understand that. I can appreciate that for sure.
Alana, we'll see you out there next week. Thanks a lot for checking in. Appreciate it.
All right, Dave. Take care.
There she is, Alana Rizzo, who's been there since the first day. Pitchers and catchers reported earlier this week for Sportsnet LA, so always good to get firsthand perspective of what's going on down there with pitchers playing catch with catchers, you know, bullpen sessions, of course. Very, very important work there. Julio Urias, by the way, threw his first bullpen session today. I know that's exciting news for you. Julio, you know, everybody keeps asking about this Dodger rotation. I think it's going to be fine if Kershaw stays healthy. I know he felt good after his first day of the bullpen session. I know he threw another one today. If he could stay healthy and reach his goal of making every start this season. Now, if he misses one or two, I think the Dodgers will be fine. But I think it would be very hard for the Dodgers to overcome any more significant time of him being out. Maybe they can, because their rotation, if Rich Hill stays healthy too, they're in a better place than they were a year ago. I really believe Julio Urias, by the end of the season, will be the second best pitcher in this rotation. There's no doubt in my mind from what we saw at the end of last year and what coaches and teammates saw from him. Even if he doesn't start the season with the Dodgers and stays for extended spring training, to have him from May on, or maybe end of May on, that would be a huge boost for this rotation, because then you're looking at Kershaw, Hill, Maeda, Urias, and Kazmir. Right now, if he stays back for extended spring training, you're going to have Kershaw, Hill, Maeda, Kazmir, and then that fifth spot, which the Dodgers, looking at their schedule, will need a fifth starter the first couple of weeks of the season. You're looking at guys like Alex Wood, who wouldn't be a bad choice. You got Brandon McCarthy, who's trying to come back from Tommy John surgery. And you got Ross Stripling, who will always be remembered the first month of last season for having a no-hitter in San Francisco. So the Dodgers have plenty of options for a fifth starter. And sometimes I think people have unrealistic expectations for any team's pitching rotation. You can't have 1-5 20-game winners with ERA sub 2. I'm sorry, that's just not realistic. So if you're looking at your fifth starter as guys that I just mentioned, you're in a pretty good spot. And talking to Rick Honeycutt last week, the Dodgers pitching coach, he believes Scott Kazmir is coming into camp with a chip on his shoulder because he has a lot of pride. He knows where he's been before, pitching an indie ball after being out of Major League Baseball a couple of years ago. So he doesn't want to go back to that, even though he does have guaranteed money. He does have self-pride. So that's a good mix for the Dodgers to have young pitchers that want to prove something and veteran pitchers that still have a lot to prove. That's a good recipe for good competition in camp and good competition throughout the season. So the Dodger rotation's in a good spot. I believe their bullpen's in a better spot than it has been each of the last 4 years in spring training. So things are looking good for the Dodgers, and I mentioned this earlier this week. This is the most talented group in spring training since the 2013 Dodgers that went to the NLCS against the St. Louis Cardinals and was very close to going to the World Series. That'll do it for Nissan Dodger Talk tonight. Thanks to Dodger bench coach Bob Guerin for checking in. Thank you to Alana Rizzo for checking in as well, both
live at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona. That's where I will be beginning Monday. You can hear live reports throughout the day from me on LA Today and Petros and Money Show. If you missed any of our interviews or the show tonight, you could podcast it at am570lasports.com. Thanks to Kevin Figures filling in for Ronnie Fazio tonight. You can hear him overnight on Fox Sports Radio doing those great updates. Please be careful and safe out there. I know it's a wild storm out there. The good news is when you get home, turn on Channel 9 and you'll see Evelyn Taft. Have a great night, everybody. See ya.
Online at am570lasports.com. This is LA's best sports talk.